hockey game is the best game you can name. And the best game you can name is the good old hockey game.
And here we go. Line ball to start this game.
Jeremy Loblotsky and John Moraski teeing off on one another.
And Toporowski is just pounding away at Robinson. He said, Toporowski, this is a guy who set a Western Hockey League record for 505 penalty minutes.
Let's call it like it is. Toporowski's a boon.
Getting closer. He reaches in a right back. He's not Scott Griffin. He's Scott Forth. Stu Griffin. Oh, my goodness. Scott Parker for the KO of Stu Griffin.
This is one of the best hockey fights we have seen in a long time.
Vinnebush tells the linesman, get the heck out of my kitchen.
Ray Victor, he absolutely decked Jim Crate with a wild right.
Bashir staggered by a big left hand by Wade Bielak.
Chris Nyland on a penalty shot. Score!
Bugard down the wing. Bugard bombs away. Score!
I don't want you at all. Number 47 for Boston. Those guys, 5 minutes each for fighting!
Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to episode number 90 of the 5 for Fighting podcast. My name is Alec, your host, and this is the show where we focus on the players who drop the gloves and the fans who enjoy watching them do it. Brought to you by the Hockey Podcast Network. Hope everybody is doing well out there. This was the intro that has taken me like 2 weeks to record. I've had the actual interview with Kurt for quite a minute now. I've had it for about 2 weeks. And the week I was going to release it, it was probably one of the worst weeks I've had in a long time. Ended up having a migraine. It was raining all week. And then on top of that, our AC ended up going out. So we were without AC for like 3 days. Super annoying. It was just a fuse. But of course, the one fuse I needed for this AC unit wasn't available at Lowe's, Ace, or Home Depot or anything like that. I had to order it off of Amazon. And it was the one, you know, with Amazon today, you can order something and it's on your doorstep within like the next 10 minutes. Obviously, I'm exaggerating here. But you can order stuff and almost get it same day, basically. And of course, this is the one part it took like 3 days to get here. So just an absolute shit show. So I apologize. And then last week I had the in-laws come in. I kind of forgot they were coming into town. So I didn't realize that. And I was like, well, I can't just, you know, have guests here just like, okay, bye. I'm going to do the podcast. I've done it before once. I did that with a Kaminsky interview and I kept getting the when are you coming out? And I was like, I'm never doing a podcast with, you know, family in the house again, at least an interview. So I apologize to Kurt. I know he's been waiting a minute here and I've been messaging him back and forth. I know they were just on a fishing trip out there and I think he was on Michigan, something like that. It looks like they were catching some fish out there. So you know, I'm jealous. We'll put it that way, but Kurt's an awesome dude. Basically what this episode is for was kind of just understanding what Hit Club Hockey is about and kind of what their mission is. And I think Kurt, I wouldn't have joined Hit Club or partnered with them, whatever you want to call it. If I didn't think that they were a solid brand. And so it was just kind of fun to pick the brain of Kurt, who's kind of like for lack of a term, the CEO of Hit Club Hockey, and, you know, see like how he was brought up in terms of, you know, who he liked with hockey and who do you like as a fighter, goalie, goal scorer, and kind of just going over kind of what their mission is and how they want to kind of take the minor pro hockey world by storm. And I think it's perfect. It's an open market, you know. And so, by the way, you know, speaking of the 5 for Fighting merch, you can go get a shirt or a hat or a hoodie at hitclubhockey.com. That's just looked up hitclubhockey.com, and it's going to be a banner, or just go over to the collection banner and you'll find 5 for Fighting podcast. And there you will be available to purchase a shirt, hoodie, or a hat. We have 3 hats up. We have a shirt and a hoodie available. So go out there, get your 5 for Fighting podcast merch. I want to thank the guys over there at Hit Club, not just Kurt, you know, everybody over there for welcoming me in and, you know, doing this for me. They definitely didn't have to. And it was something, you know, I reached out to them and they were super responsive immediately and fantastic guys. And like I said, I owe them this podcast. I don't know that this podcast would have continued without them. And of course that led to me signing on with the Hockey Podcast Network. Well, actually before Before I go any further here, let me just get, I'll get the shout-outs out of the way. As I said before, I am a member of the Hockey Podcast Network. Every NHL team is represented, so whichever team you're a fan of, there is more than likely a show for you. In fact, there might even be multiple shows based around the team you like, so I encourage you to go check out the Hockey Podcast Network. In terms of original content side of things, boy, the four Yahoos, the four Stooges, we'll call it. They have myself, Joe Lazito over at the Coliseum Chronicles, Darren over at the Fourth Line Voice, and Jordan with the Five in a Game Podcast. Don't mind Gates the pup over there in the background already running amok. I haven't even been 5 minutes in, he's already running amok out here. But all of us are kind of enforcer-based podcasts where we talk about the fights and the tough guys. Jordan at the five in a game, it focuses on the Quebec League and the QMJHL. Of course, I don't think there's going to be much fighting in there soon. we'll get into the ECHL here in a minute. That was another thing I wanted to go over in this intro. But yes, Jordan over at Five in a Game, go check him out. Joe over at the Coliseum Chronicles, you got pretty much Islanders enforcers he's talked with. He just had on Jimmy Mazza, which that was one of my favorite interviews he did. His interview with Ross Olsen was good. And as you can tell by those two names, obviously, Mazza and Olsen didn't play for the Islanders, but they were in the Islanders farm team with Worcester at some point, or I think it was Jimmy Mazza with Adirondack too. And so, you know, he interviews guys, you know, if they were a part of the club, and he's recently started doing off the island interviews since he joined the network, which is basically just kind of doing interviews outside of the Islanders club or, you know, the minor pro teams that they are affiliated with, that are affiliated with the Islanders. So I encourage you to go check out Joe's back catalog. He's got a tremendous, back catalog of guests like Mick Vukota, Jason Strudwick. He's got coach of the ECHL Solar Bears team, Matt Karkner. He's had him on. I meant to say former NHLer there, not former coach. So go check out Joe's show. Tremendous job. And Darren, the original Enforcer podcast, the one who started it all, the pioneer. Darren, actually, I was just on his show. It was funny. I couldn't even get my own show out, but I can go on Darren. Some kind of host I am. And, of course, that was he did rapid fire with me. It was a fun time, and he went over some first round trades or first round draft picks in terms of enforcers from back in the day. Because of course you're not going to find any first round enforcer draft picks in today's world. But I encourage you to go check out his show. Steve McIntyre, John Morasty, Joey Tedarenko. Jeff Odgers, tremendous back catalog from all the guys too. Jordan's interviewed some great guys out on like Ryan Hand. I know a lot of his interviews got wiped out over there at Five in a Game, and I know he's working to get back to it. So hopefully in the future we can get some of those interviews out. I know he's got to redo them, but all three of those guys, tremendous. And the Hockey Podcast Network, like I said, go check it out. You can find all of our shows there. You can find whatever show you want. If you're a fan of an NHL team, you can find it on there as well. Basically, what I was saying with Kurt with Hit Club, they were kind of the ones who reached back out to me after I stopped doing the podcast. And I would still post here and there, and they were kind of like, you know, hey, do you still want to do merch? Like, we can make it happen. Because I had messaged them a while back, and we'd kind of agreed to do it, and we didn't have a release date yet. It was everything was still kind of in the early stages, and so it got back to me on that, even after not doing the podcast. I think it was like 2 months later. And I said, well, if we're going to do merch, I don't think I could really have a podcast, or I can't have podcast merch and not do a podcast, right? So I said, well, you probably just resurrected Five for Fighting, so thanks for that. So you guys can thank Kurt from Hit Club. Actually, I don't know whether you thank him or blame him for me doing the podcast again, but no, I appreciate all the boys over there at Hit Club Hockey. And before we get into the interview with Kurt, of course, today some news came out. The ECHL Board of Governors meeting happened, and they have some new new rules in place, folks. And what does new rules mean? Well, can't have new rules in 2023 without, of course, making a fight rule, because that's the cool thing to do now. Why they did this, I don't know. So basically, they implemented two new rules. Let me go ahead and pull them up real quick. So the first one is rule number 20.4-fighting game misconducts. An automatic game misconduct shall be applied to any player who has been assessed a second fighting major in the same game. The misconduct will be waived for a player if an opposing player is assessed a penalty for instigating. And the second one, and that one is it's dumb, but I'll get to that in a second. And the over-the-top one, here we go. Rule number 46.10. Fighting prior to or at the drop of the puck. a player or player who enter into a fight prior to, at the drop of the puck, or immediately following any face-off during the game shall be assessed an automatic game misconduct in addition to any penalties assessed. Oh, where do I even begin with this? I'm not going to try to be long-winded here because obviously we have an interview to get to and that's the focus of the show. I don't want to take away anything from Kurt and the interview with him at Hit Club Hockey because that's the focus of the show here. But I'll give you my general thoughts on it. So the rule number 20.4, you know, the fighting game misconducts, which is where if you have two fights in a game, you get a game misconduct after that. I want to say that was the rule in the LNH when LNH was like at its peak, like in 2005. So this rule is kind of stupid to put in anyways. There's already a 10 fight limit. Guys 99.9% of the time aren't going to take two fights in a game because they don't want to waste two of their fights out of the 10 in the same game, unless some shit absolutely hits the fan. I want to say it was only three players that had it last year. I want to do more research on this, but I ended up getting a flat tire in the work truck and that, you know, put a damper on things later on today. But basically, I want to say it was only three players. It was Brandon Yemmons, Austin Crosley, and Nico Blatchman. And Nico Blatchman fought twice. He fought Sean Gulka twice. Oh, sorry. So that would be four players then because he fought Sean Gulka at the same time. So, okay, there we go. I'm answering my own questions here. Sorry, folks, as I piece this all together while I'm talking about it. Real professional podcast. So I'd say the four players were Sean Gulka because him and Nico Blatchman fought in the same game when Savannah played South Carolina. So there's two players. Austin Crosley fought Ortabadi and Olsen when Orlando was playing Florida. He fought those two in the same game. And then Brandon Yemmons, who he fought I believe he had two fights in the game where he had the double TKO with Belanti, I think. I could be wrong, but I know for sure Brandon Yemmons has fought in two times in one game. So, that being said, those are the crazy epidemic of the multiple fights per game. We got to put a rule in. There's been four players. There was four players last year that did it, and if I had to take a wild guess, the year before, that might have been around the same fucking number. So, why even put this in? I don't know. This rule doesn't affect anything as much because, you know, it's like I said, it's already at a low. And this can be said for both rules because, I mean, fighting's already on its way out of the game, so there's that. But, I mean, why even have to put a rule in when there was only four players last year that had two fights in a game? You'd think, you'd think they'd put it in if it was, I don't know, even say 30 players, you know, or 10 players, I guess. I don't know. But either way, it's just, I don't understand why. Like, why? Why are these fight rules? And then rule number 46.10, the fighting prior to or at the drop of the puck. I mean, I said it when it came out years ago with the AHL. Because I want to say the AHL implemented this about 5 years ago. I could be wrong. But, I mean, it's people, I've seen so many arguments for it in terms of, I won't say seen so many arguments because I feel like the majority of people have called this rule just absolutely dumb. And I mean, you know, for good reason, of course, but I haven't really seen too many fans, but I see people saying, well, it gets the staged fighting out of the game. For one, there's no such thing as a staged hockey fight. These guys are throwing knuckles at each other and they're trying to knock each other's blocks off. There's nothing staged about it. Sure, they might fight off the face-off, and if anything, in my opinion, if they're fighting off the face-off, it's actually probably a little bit safer than if it was during play because you got guys who might be more tired and not thinking in the right frame of mind. But typically off the face-off, the guys are, you know, fresh, ready to go, and you know they're smarter when they fight because they, you know, they're not as tired. I mean, that's just my opinion. How much credibility there is to that, I don't know. Don't mind Gates in the background being an asshole. Sorry, folks. But as for in terms of its people saying, well, it eliminates the staged aspect. So instead of having guys drop the gloves right off the draw, you know, hey, and we go at it, whether they lock up immediately or they square off at center ice, whatever. Yeah, that's one thing. So instead of having that, because we don't want that, that's staged. Instead, we're going to drop the puck, have two guys who are they already know they're going to fight. They want to fight. Have them skate around for 5 to 10 seconds, pretending to play hockey, and then go fight it. And then go fight. Like, what? To me, that's more staged than the other fucking thing than just fighting off the draw. Why is this the thing? Like, why even eliminate this? Fighting's already on its way out. I mean, you get guys like the Howes, Neubers, Blatchmans, Throwers. All those guys are still employed by the ECHL, so why would they keep adding rules to them? You know, I just don't get it. And again, it's not like this isn't an epidemic. This doesn't happen as much in today's game at all. So why even have it in there? I don't know. And it's just the tip of the iceberg. Years ago, when they added the 10 fight rule, and I remember talking about that on the podcast. It was like one of the few, like, or maybe it was the WHL. I'm sorry. There's been so many fight rules implemented these past few years because it's all just pandering now at this point. Honestly, it's stupid. I've asked many players, many fans, none of them want this in the game. So I don't know whoever agrees to these rules, and maybe it's an insurance thing. I don't know. I'm sure there's plenty of stuff behind closed doors that, of course, the fans, the general public, like myself, do not get to see or hear about. One sec here. Sorry, I had to get a swig of water. And I was talking with somebody from a team rep, not a league rep. I don't think anybody from the league is talking to me anytime soon. A team rep, and basically, they had kind of said the same thing. It's like, I think the ECHL, they want to do like a family friend, like, the, I guess be a family friendly environment. But the problem is, it's hockey. Like, I understand wanting families to have a good time with the game. And hey, I think, like, you know, promotion nights are great, like kids night or SpongeBob night, whatever. At the end of the day, how are you going to, so you're going to neuter the product to pander to like ice capades, I guess. And I'm not saying that to be over the top dramatic, because believe me, there's so many people, and actually nobody makes fighting look worse than fight fans sometimes, I swear. And obviously, this is a pro fighting podcast. The name is Five for Fighting. If you ever look at my Instagram page, you'll know what I'm here for. I'm not hiding it. If you ever go back in my back catalogs and listen to this episode or listen to the podcast, you'll know what this show is about. But like the whole thing, it's like, and he said, it's like they're having an identity crisis. ECHL, I don't know if people know this, the ECHL doesn't stand for anything. It still gets called the Coast by even the players, but technically the ECHL, it's an acronym that doesn't stand for anything. I'm not kidding. If you go on the ECHL website, and I forget when it was like either the mid 2000s to 2010s, I think is when it happened, because of course they had teams, once they absorbed a bunch from like the CHL, the UHL and all that stuff. I think that's when they went away with it. But yeah, the ECHL doesn't actually stand for anything. It's literally just ECHL. It doesn't stand for, you know, entertaining, you know, clown hockey league. I don't know. It doesn't stand for anything. It just stands for ECHL. It used to be the East Coast Hockey League and still gets referred to it. And so it's like, where are they going for? I don't know. I don't know who thought these rules are a good idea. It's just another way to get fighting more and more out of the game. It was, like I said, it was just the tip of the iceberg. These people will go on, oh, well, they still let them fight, they just can't do it off the draw. Oh, they still let them fight, it just can't be over 10. Oh, they'll still let them fight, they just can't drop their buckets. Oh, they'll still let them fight, they just can't have more than 2 in a game. Are we seeing a trend here where, we still let them fight, but there's all these rules in place here? Like, does nobody see this trend? I don't understand this. And I was talking about it with someone on Instagram as well. Kind of we were messaging back and forth just about the rule. And I said, I don't know why the league does this, because the NHL, which is the goal league, this is a development league for the NHL. The goal is to make the NHL, right? And the NHL doesn't have these fight rules. I think they have a couple in there in terms of like starting a fight in like the last 5 minutes or something like that, which I think all leagues have that now at this point. But like the fighting off the face-off, and I mean, it was an Ice Guardians. Gary Bettman said it. He was like, you know, we actually took a vote, and the players voted to keep the fights off at the drop of the puck in the game. It was the NHLPA who kept it in. And you know who's doing that? The players. They're the ones fighting. So why is it always some guy in a suit telling grown men they can or can't fight? It's like they don't ask the players at all. They stopped posting the results now because it's 2023, and this was a few years back they stopped posting results, but I remember every single year, the NHLPA, it would be the players' vote, the player polls, every single year. Do we keep fighting in the game? Do we keep fighting in the game? I don't think the percentage ever got below 97% in terms of folks in favor of, in terms of the players in favor of fighting in the NHL. So clearly the players want it. So we'll give it, and I know Darren has said this, I've said it, a kid will turn 18, here's a rifle and a fucking flak and Kevlar, go die for your country. Oh, you're 24 years old? No, you can't fight in hockey, buddy, that's a no-go. And it's like, I just don't get it. And then back to the whole family environment thing, you're playing contact sports, it's violence. Contact sports, whether people like it or not, it's consented violence. That's just what it is. It's consented assault. Nowhere, and I see people all the time, well, you can't just go fight somebody on the street. Okay, cool. Go take a hockey stick and whack somebody in the ankle on the street too. Tell me how that goes. Tell me if you could do that. Or just go around body checking people. Tell me if you could do that. Oh, well, that's different. Really? Is it? Because there's a lot of things you can't do in the real world that you could do in sports. Regardless of what contact sport you're playing, whether it's lacrosse, hockey, football, you could do a lot of things in those sports that you cannot do in the real world. And so that argument is just always ridiculous to me. I just don't get it. I've gone on long enough here. Keeping this intro, I try to keep it short. I don't want it to take away from anything with Kurt and the boys at Hit Club, so I'll pass it over to them. Sorry for getting kind of ranty here. It's just it happened, so I was like, fuck it, I'll talk about it. Maybe I'll do a live show this weekend. I've been thinking about trying to do that, maybe doing a live show on the weekends, whether it's an actual podcast now, but just talking with ECHL fans via Instagram, because that's where I've got the most followers over there. We're actually almost up to 18,000 now, which is kind of funny. I have 18,000 followers. I could tell you, I could probably count on one hand how many goals and dangles I've posted on the page. And if I did, it was probably an enforcer goal anyhow. And so that just tells you, and I was telling the team rep as well, you know, the most viral clips from the ECHL are always the fights. I can't, you know, there was a Michigan goal scored last year, and I couldn't tell you who it was by, but I guarantee people could tell you all about the goalie fights or Blatchman and Howe going at it in pregame warmups and, you know, what else, you know, everything. Like the fucking fight from earlier this year, the double TKO, that was the most blown up clip of the ECHL scene in a long time. It was on SportsCenter, for Christ's sake. Shout out to Mike Bauer for that video, by the way. Always got to give guys the shout out. And like Harry Roundtree, who took the one of Nico and Travis Howe and allowed me to post them. So shout out to those guys. Those guys are fucking awesome. But funny, those are always the most viewed clips, right? But yeah, somehow fighting is just bad. We don't want it. I don't know. I would love to get a league rep on here and like just talk. Like I don't want to sit there and like ridicule them or like talk down on them. That's not the goal. Or I would like to just have a debate and just genuinely ask like why are these rules in here? And I know it's never going to happen, but a guy can dream, right? But anyways, we'll pass it over to Kurt over at Hit Club. Sorry, this is the last time. but before I let you go, of course, like I said, go check out Hit Club Hockey Supply. Just look up hitclubhockey.com and you can find the five, not only just Five for Fighting podcast merch, but merch from a bunch of different stuff. I know the Florida Hits Harder was huge during the Kelly Cup playoffs. So, and Kelly Cup finals to boot when Florida went back to back. So congratulations again to them. And they've got plenty of other great stuff on there, not just related to just fights, but goal scoring and goalies and everything like that too. Fantastic stuff from the boys over at Hit Club. And of course, go check out the Hockey Podcast Network and the boys over there and all the other shows I mentioned. So if you want to follow the podcast, you give me a follow on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Just search Five for Fighting Podcast. Everything should come right up. Should be the first option. So anyways, thank you guys for sticking it out. I appreciate you bearing with me on this long intro. So without further ado, folks, let's pass it over to Kurt with Hit Club Hockey Supply. Thanks, everybody. And now here's a quick message from our sponsor. Sports fans, download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code THPN. Bet just $5 to score $150 in bonus bets instantly. That's code THPN only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In Massachusetts, call 800-327-5050 or visit gamblinghelplinema.org. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Kansas, call 1-800-522-4700 on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas. In West Virginia, gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. All games regulated by West Virginia Lottery. Please play responsibly. In partnership with Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races in Connecticut, help is available. For a gambling problem, call 888-789-7777. Or visit ccpg.org. 21 and up in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdictions. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details and state-specific responsible gambling resources. Bonus bets expire 7 days after issuance. One boost per eligible game. Opt-in required. Max bet $50. 10+ regular required for 10% boost. Eligibility, wagering, and deposit restriction apply. Terms at sportsbook.draftkings.com/baseball terms. All right, folks, tonight on the Five for Fighting podcast, he is the man behind the merch that is available for the podcast at this point. By the time this is released, the merch will be out. But that is none other than Kurt from Hit Club Hockey Supply. Kurt, how you doing tonight, man?
Good, Alec. How you doing, man?
Good. I appreciate you taking the time to come on the podcast here. I know you and I have talked actually for a couple months now at this point, eh?
Yeah, bud. It's been quite a great partnership so far, man. We just started talking about Coast Hockey, and it was fantastic, man, just talking about all our experiences and stuff. And then come to find out, we know a bunch of similar guys through the Everblades and a couple other teams across the league. So definitely cool to just bullshit and have another hockey fan in the Hit Club family, and also get it going together with both our brands, man.
Absolutely. Well, I guess before we get into Hit Club, you know, when did you become a hockey fan? Were you hooked from like a really young age? Did you get into it in later years? You know, how did the fandom for the lovely sport we call hockey develop?
Dude, you already know. It starts when you're young, man. You start watching TV, and next thing you know, it's a love, you know. Thankfully, I grew up young in Canada. So my mom's Canadian. She's from Windsor. So I started from a young age. I think I was on skates at like 2, which not a lot of people are, you know, like it was like I was learning to walk and I was put on skates. My dad, not so much, you know, he's American and he liked NASCAR and things like that. But my mom made sure I got the time in over with my uncle, who actually still coaches over there in Canada and in the Windsor area. And definitely was skating young, man. Did instructional at like 3. And, you know, it was all over after that, man. So that's where the love came from. I played most of my junior life, played into college, and unfortunately got a pretty bad knee injury. So kind of hung them up. But my love for hockey comes from that, man. My whole goal growing up was, hey, I'm going to the league. That's everybody's dream, right? And when that didn't happen, I had to find another way. I was sick of corporate America. All my buddies were still playing. Like, I played with a lot of Little Caesars guys who went on to play Coast Hockey and, you know, went around and actually did some things with their careers. And, you know, watching all of them just motivated me to really start the brand. I was like, you know what? Not a lot of guys are supporting these FP guys, these SP guys, and the East Coast guys. And definitely just started it with a lot of those friends. And we got it together, man. And that's what we're built on, you know? So that's kind of where, Hit Club came into the mix, but, the love for hockey definitely from juniors and playing.
Yeah, for sure, man. Well, you know, I know you guys like the rough and tumble play. I got to ask before. So, you know, you're from Michigan. I'm assuming you're a huge Red Wings fan then.
Yeah, man. Growing up, it was everything, you know, believe it or not though, man, I started out watching Hockey Night in Canada. So it wasn't a lot of Red Wings. It was a lot of Canadians. It was a lot of Vancouver Canucks. Vancouver Canucks was one of the first teams that I watched, the Flying Skate era, with Pavel Bure and,
beauty,
you know, all the way through to like Dan Cloutier getting all pissed off and getting in goalie fights and stuff. So, you know, like that was where the love came in. And then, you know, it gravitated to the Oilers, the Smith era, when they were really good, you know, whatever team was really good on Hockey Night in Canada. And then, you know, once I started playing myself, you know, my team was always the Red Wings, because who didn't, growing up in Michigan, want to be just like their Ice Lords, like the people they looked up to. So,
yeah, for sure. Did you go to any minor pro games? Like, you got KZoo up there, anything like, did you ever hit those up?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
100%, man. So I got lucky enough where, you know, a lot of our teams, we'd get like free tickets and whatnot.
Nice.
Playing Little Caesars, you know, we got to run the gamut. So we went to Detroit Vipers games, which it was really something. Saginaw Spirit, believe it or not, back in the day, like the Saginaw Gears, I think it was like the Motor City Mechanics, which was like the old garage. UHL.
Yeah, baby.
Yep. Oh yeah. Yeah, man. That's right where it's at. And I think that's really where the love came for it, for sure. Cause that's right when like a lot of us were hitting Squirt and Bantam. So, I mean, like going and seeing like the off season in 2000, I think it was 2004 was the lockout.
Yep.
Getting to go see like Chelly and a couple of the other guys getting it going in the UHL was really something, man.
Oh yeah, for sure. You know, oh, they had like Sean Avery. They had, I think, Mel Engelstad. That was the
Yeah.
They played for. Oh yeah, it was like, and they had Darian Hatcher too. It was just insane that lockout year.
You know, the crazy part is, man, I love me some Sean Avery, man. Growing up,
I
like,
do
just
too.
His antics and stuff. And you know, thinking back about it, wasn't even really aware that he was on the team until like I got older. I was like, oh shit, you know, like I don't know why I didn't realize that. But you know, I really remember like Chris Chelios, probably because we got to meet him for Little Caesars and all that stuff. And he was always pretty much a beauty for the younger kids. You know, I think we've all heard stories otherwise, like, you know, guys meeting him when he's older. He's just kind of a keep to himself kind of guy. But, you know, for us, it was amazing, man. We get to meet like Chelios. I played defense. I was a, you know, first pair defenseman for Little Caesars. And what years did I play, man? That's wild to think back about. It's been so long. Like, it's crazy when you think about it, because
it is
now. The best years are 10 years ago, you know, 15 years ago. You're starting to get, I'm starting to get into that realm now where it's like, damn, dude, it's been that long.
Yeah,
I played from 2002, played like all the gamut. So Beltire, CompuWare, Little Caesars, like we played, I played all of those different leagues and had the benefit of being able to play those growing up here in Detroit. I mean, we have some of the best junior hockey. So that was definitely a benefit to every single person here. Didn't have to do the Belay family thing, although had buddies that that were Belay. And, you know, we always went over to the Belay family's house, though, because we got to stay up till fucking 4 in the morning.
Yeah, just
and,
mucking it up.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, we didn't have Zins or anything like that back in the day. Thank God we weren't getting into too much trouble. But, you know, we weren't getting fucked up or anything. We were playing Halo and you know, whatever else we had.
Running the fucking LAN cables between rooms and shit, I'm sure.
Oh, 100%.
Just date ourselves like that. I remember doing that back in the day, playing game nights where you'd bring everybody bring a console and you're running LAN cables throughout the whole fucking house.
Oh, that's exactly how it was, too. We like if somebody wasn't able to play, you know, we had a mini stick game going in the hallway. And then, you know, Coach Breezois would... We'd go over to his house because he was supporting a bunch of the kids. And you know it was bad when he started speaking French because it's like, oh, fuck, man. Like, we're in big trouble now. We have practice in the morning. Oh, yeah. It's like, fuck, man. Oh, boy. We're in big trouble here. So, you know, we'd quiet down for a couple minutes and then, you know, we'd get mini sticks going again and break a light or something. You know,
all fun and games until a couple tabernacles start getting thrown around out there.
Oh, 100%, man. Yeah, next thing you know, like people are throwing around mini sticks like tomahawks it gets out of control quickly, man.
Oh, for sure. Well, moving over to the Hit Club side of things. Well, you guys just started this past year, correct?
Correct, man. Yeah, we started in 2020. We started pioneering the brand, trying to look what it would be. A pandemic hit, and a couple of our buddies like didn't have ECHL contracts or, you know, like FPHL, we're all kind of not playing, right? So we started thinking about what we could do. And a lot of the guys, you know, they work summer jobs, but their supplementary income during the season is playing hockey and doing what they love. So we started thinking about what we could do in the meantime. And that's how we kind of started putting it together. We were like, hey, there's a lot of apparel, there's a lot of Gitch brands out there, but like, what could be something that we do? Well, we focused on, you know, making high quality products that are affordable for guys that are grinding it out in the league that really don't get the sponsorships they deserve. And that's kind of where that, again, that passion for the minor league hockey thing comes back from. Like, we're like boys with a lot of people in the league, but most of all, like my friends group and like the Hit Club family really started out of, you know, knowing guys that played in the coast and other things, and we've seen it firsthand. I mean, when you're making 200 a week, it's not really ideal to have to buy another stick or, you know, to purchase something else that's, you know, affecting your ability to live. So that's kind of where we born that out of, man. We wanted to be affordable and we wanted to put the best possible product out for guys that are really just grinding it out. We're not trying to, you know, charge a bunch of money for stuff. We're trying to literally be a brand for the mindsies, you know, like the guys that are grinding it out in the trenches, doing it every day, man. And that's our core principle. And we just started from there. And we have a background, a couple of us, corporate America, like even some of the hockey guys like Matt, Tyler, of working in, you know, like apparel industry and stuff. So we just really put our brain trust together and started the brand, man, and it just kind of took off. We didn't really know if it was going to be a full-time thing, and next thing you know, man, we had a ton of support from guys, and I think that's really shows the value of like just some of the guys we have behind the brand. You know, a lot of us are, you know, hockey guys ourselves. We're not just like some suits trying to sell you some, you know, smoke and mirrors. I mean, we're really putting our blood, sweat, and tears into this, and definitely trying to be be one of the boys too. I mean, we've been in a lot of rooms with guys, and we've been hanging out with a lot of the guys, and I think every one of them appreciates it when we come out and show support and start slinging merch around the locker room and shooting some promos and videos for the guys. And a lot of them don't get that type of exposure. I think there's a lot of markets that could do a better job at really highlighting these guys that are grinding it out.
Yeah, for sure, man. And I think I get it. It's not the NHL, but I think leagues need to do a better job of marketing their players as well. I feel like just some leagues just don't do it as much at the minor pro level. Why, I don't know. You see teams that do a very good job, but I feel like leagues as a whole, they've just been slacking. Because I've had 100%. A lot of people just ask me, they're like, oh, you're watching all these ECHL games. Like, where do you find this? I'm like, man, it's flow hockey. Like, it's just not out there. Teams just, like, people just don't know.
Yeah. And it's actually crazy, too. Like, I remember when it was ECHL TV, it seemed like it was much more affordable, too. When they switched over to Flow, you know, you're paying $30 a month to watch a couple Coast teams. Like, most people, I'm thinking about most fans. And it becomes this, like, really expensive thing for even the fan to watch away games and all that. So it kind of sucks in that way that they've gone about it that way. But, you know, at the same time, I think that them going to Flow actually helped the production value a little bit because it opened it up to more fans. So right. I do like the benefits of, you know, them just not having this proprietary thing that nobody knows about. Like, there's opportunity now for somebody who's never watched a hockey game before to pop on a Coast game because it's available to them and start checking out a team in their market they didn't even realize. So there's benefits and positives to every move that the league makes. And I think that's actually one of the positives is that, you know, there's more exposure rather than it being some proprietary app that, you know, somebody that only knows about it's going to download and watch.
Yeah, I agree. And that was what surprised me when I actually got Flow Sports for the first time, because I do the year package or whatever the hell it is.
Oh, yeah. You have to.
Which, yeah, the year package is way cheaper when you do it that way. But, like, then I had no clue. You get, like, dirt track races and a bunch of other, like college hockey in there. Not I'm a college hockey fan, but the options are there. We'll put it that way. So I think, like you said, I do think going over to Flow Sports was definitely the right move for them.
Man, I was talking to Pober about it. I'm an ex-ACHA guy, too. So
really?
I only played a couple games and messed up the knee. But it's cool to be able to watch some of those games, too. I'll pop them on. I worked for a minor league baseball team in the past here for, like, a summer league team. It was always cool watching the Northwoods games on ESPN and stuff. So every once in a while, you know, I'll pop on a college hockey game or, you know, some of the baseball they offer or whatever. So it's definitely cool to watch some of that stuff too. But you know, again, it's just all about how can we market the Coast, the FP, the SPHL, all those type of leagues a little bit better across the board. And moves like that definitely help, you know. I think that takes a lot of the guys into a different realm. And even, you know, like I think I saw down in Florida, the Blades were putting guys on South Florida ESPN too. So that was pretty cool to see that they're at least getting some play on bigger networks as well.
Yeah, I know they have ESPN. I forget the radio channel because I was always at the game. So I never really had to watch the radio or listen to the radio. Well, you mentioned it before. You have some players that you sponsor. Like, run us down. Give us a few of the players that you guys are currently sponsoring right now with Hit Club.
Yeah, man. So we're looking for, honestly, a little mix of everything, right? So we're not just only like a fighting forward brand, and I'll get to that in a second. But we're looking for guys that just give everything. Give up nothing is kind of one of our mantras that we have, one of our brand lines. And, you know, we were looking for players that really supported that. So looking in the leagues that are grinding it out, one of our boys, Trevor Gorsuch, he was definitely involved in the company. He's helped with some of the merch designs and definitely like repping us pretty heavy. He's been in with us since day one. We have Keegan McGraw, who did Ice Wars previously. He's a Ice Wars veteran. He's also a bare knuckle boxer. Shout out Keegan. He's a fight coming up. Big deal for him. But he was a day one as well. And from there, we just started working with a couple of those guys, and they really helped to support us and help us grow. Even in like the group chats with a couple of their boys and players around the league, and it spread to them repping the gear around the locker rooms. And next thing you know, it kind of became a synonymous with the Coast and the FP. We had guys coming to us asking us what Hit Club was about, what they could do to help and support. And we've tried to do our best to, you know, get as many guys on board as we can within reason, obviously. But definitely we look for those players that have that kind of mentality that our brand has.
So shout out to the Waterford Sharks. We're supporting those guys on the Millies. Every single guy in that locker room is a total beauty. We supported the Evansville Thunderbolts down there in the SP. So shout out all those guys too. Absolutely amazing support from them. They all got some gear and repped it during the playoffs down there. Shout out to Kalamazoo Wings. I've worked with that organization for about 6 years now. Absolutely amazing group of people, from Tony down to Joel, who's head coach, and also Nick Bootland, who's in the Calder Cup finals right now. He's been a absolute beaut and helping us, and also some other stuff. I've done some specialty jerseys for Kalamazoo and some other stuff in my career. So shout out him too, man. And moving into some of the Coast guys, we got Ryan Devine fighting in Ice Wars this year in Wyoming in a couple weeks. So that's going to be pretty cool. We have quite a few guys down there in Carolina, the Thunderbirds. Shout out them, man. Their support was absolutely unreal this year, right down to hanging the flag over the stick rack, going into the playoffs. I mean, every single guy in that locker room, from Garrett Rutledge, head coach, absolute beauty. He's really intense. He makes sure that they play heavy hockey. But at the end of the day, I mean, we've never had somebody who was like, whatever you guys need, whatever you want, we got you because you got our boys. So we sent them down a couple care packages, and it's been unreal the support we've got from them. So every single guy in that locker room's a sponsored athlete as well. And we look to continue to support them. And, we have quite a few other guys too we're supporting across a couple other leagues, like Little Caesars. We have Sammy DeBlias, who's just signed on. We're also trying to work with a couple other people in the NHL right now. We're not going to tilt our hat, but definitely looking forward to seeing where that goes as well. So shout out all that. And we actually have a roller team that we're sponsoring as well this summer. Really? And the tours. Yeah, we're breaking into roller now. Shout out Bleak PV, Brennan Hussey, the Hussey brothers or something else, man. And all those guys down there on Hit Club Hummus down for the tours, Roller Nationals in Tampa in a couple weeks. Those guys are going to take the cup, so it's going to be pretty cool to see.
Yeah, and it seemed like, I noticed even all the beer showers going on in the Florida Everblades locker room. It looked like there was a couple Hit Club pieces of merch there as well.
You know what, man? I didn't even realize. I blacked out there for a second. I didn't even realize. Number one beauty down there for sure, man, is Coach Down, man. Coach down there in the Everblades locker room, man. We got in contact with Logan Lambden, who we knew through Gorsuch and a couple other guys in Kalamazoo. As you probably know, Lambs played in Kalamazoo for a little while there. And he was down to support whatever we had going. So he got a couple hats for himself. And the next thing you know, the whole locker room supported us down there for that cup run. So it was absolutely amazing to see. I mean, I can't believe I didn't even say that one first, man, because those guys are absolutely amazing, man. Every single guy was down to, wear the hat whenever they could, take photos, promote it. And not only that, man, they're playing good hockey down there too. So it's even cooler to support a team that's absolutely on fire. So shout out to Florida Everblades, man. MVP Cam down there, man. It's your boy.
It's your boy.
It's your boy. Yeah. What a beauty, man. And Chicken Masala, Ben Masala. Yeah, he's a great dude. Lambs and Neuber and everybody on that team, man. I'm thinking of all the guys through there. Hickey, I'm trying to think of everybody else right now. I'm on the spot, but damn, man, they really came out and supported, man. So unreal run. Congratulations on the Memorial Cup. And as Coach said it in the Newfoundland series pre-gamers, Florida Everblades hockey is Hit Club hockey. Florida does hit harder. We proved that. ECHL Memorial or Kelly Cup champions, man. Unreal. Let's go. For sure.
What a beautiful shout out there. Look at that. It was just on a roll.
One thing, man.
I was going to ask you about. So I know that you guys obviously, do t-shirts and hats, but it looks like you guys have started to branch out into some golf apparel as well.
Oh yeah, man. So naturally, a lot of our buddies and stuff were hitting the links a little bit too soon in their season. So we had to get the golf stuff going too, obviously. We have polos and pullovers and all that stuff. We were launching for the Gitch anyway. So we were like, hey, man, let's launch some golf apparel stuff and also do some, funner type of merchandise as well. So we launched the polos and a few of the products early. But definitely for next summer, we're going to be launching a bunch of graphic polos, club covers, drink koozies, you know, club covers, Gitch apparel, golf balls, everything else is going to be launching probably into next summer. But we at least got the initial release out this summer. We're really happy with it just to be able to support some more of those guys that are going into their off seasons, you know, so they don't have to buy expensive gear. You know, they can buy some affordable Hit Club stuff, or we can hook them up with some Hit Club stuff, and also put some funny sayings on the shirts so all their boys can hose them when they're hacking it up on the course.
Yeah, for sure, man. Are you planning on going into any other sports, or is it pretty much just going to be hockey and golf for right now? Obviously, those two go pretty much hand in hand. A lot of hockey players always, you know, play golf in the off season, so you know it's not like you're branching out that far.
Well, you know, man, it's being a multi-sport athlete. I think every single one of us in the company, where there's definitely opportunity. I think that's where like the whole fighting spirit mentality of like the born to fight mantra that we have for the company naturally leads us into other sports. You know, there's hitting in almost everything. We're definitely looking into the perspective of that, but just not putting too many eggs in a basket right now. Right. I think once we do hockey and we get that right, we'll branch into other stuff. But our focus is definitely making sure that we're getting guys merch that need it in the lower leagues of hockey, focusing on that, then definitely branching up into some of the larger leagues and looking for full team, you know, sponsorships and stuff like that, and working with teams and hopefully getting our name out there and continuing to grow. Once we hit that point, man, it's definitely going to naturally go into baseball, football, lacrosse, kind of everything. That's where that whole fighting spirit comes from. You know, every sport has it. If you're playing, that's kind of the way we look at it. If you're not putting that fighting spirit on the field or on the ice, you know, why even do it?
Right. So no, I like that, man. Yeah.
Yep.
Well, you mentioned you were going to work with teams a little bit. So does that mean, are you guys going to try to get some merch sold like at the arenas for fans to buy right there? Like, you know, at the games?
Yeah, we're actually working with a couple teams right now. I'm not going to tip the hat, but definitely a couple of the teams that you might have seen some merch kind of float through. We're looking into seeing what we can do with that. I think it's just got to make sense. I think every single one of our deals, again, we have a different mentality than I think a lot of other companies out there. And that is, you know, making sure that we're taking care of the guys first, you know.
Right.
We build relationships with rooms and teams and all that stuff. But for us, it's not, hey, let's sell a bunch of merch to teams and then get rich. It's, hey, let's provide merchandise or high quality Gitch to guys that they can wear that's not going to like destroy itself after like three washes.
Right.
And how can we do a team deal where those guys are getting taken care of? And then it's also for the fan. I mean, like everything's always for the fan as well. So that's where that side will come in. I think it's just got to make sense where it's not a crazy deal. As you probably know, some of the leagues, I'm not going to mention names, but there's a lot of profit sharing that factors into that. So licensing and profit sharing and that goes into it. And honestly, we're not extremely about that. You know, I think it's just kind of ludicrous. Some of the deals that they make brands do to collaborate. But what we're looking to do is offer like a lifestyle brand that fans can get behind that doesn't like saturate their market. It's more or less like, hey, this, when you buy a Hit Club hat or a shirt, it's supporting like the guys in the room because they're all wearing it because they like it, or you're supporting your team because you like the quality of our merchandise or you like the message behind it. It's not, hey, I'm buying a shirt because it says Hit Club on it. You know, that's not the end goal for us at all. It's like the kind of, again, the philanthropic side of we're giving back to hockey in general. That's kind of the
right goal. Yeah, well, if somehow, some way, if there is ever a Five for Fighting podcast Hit Club shirt somewhere in an ECHL arena, I think pigs will be flying. But, you know, not to say never, never say never.
Let's go, man. No, I think the sky's the limit, man. I was just hanging out with our buddy Chinner earlier, who plays for the Waterford Sharks. Shout out Derek Chin. Absolute beauty. But we were talking about all the possibilities and perspectives across the league, and I think that's definitely the case. I mean, if we can, you know, look to lift up the league and lift up the guys that are in the league, I mean, again, it's the promotion side. They just don't do enough for these guys out there. Yeah. So if we can get guys wearing our stuff, we're going to promote them probably heavier than the NHL might, you know, with like content and different stuff that we can push out there. And we've had quite a few videos that we've had going viral now and some other stuff. So hopefully using that leverage to, you know, get highlights of the guys that we're repping and sponsoring into the eyes of the masses. Cause you know, sometimes it just takes that one shot. There's guys on the coast that could absolutely cut it higher up. And it just takes that look or the right person taking a look at those guys to get them that shot.
Yeah, for sure. All those guys are interchangeable. You can see 100%. Guys go up and down all the time. That's why I was laughing. 100%. People are like, the ECHL isn't. I'm like, there's probably ECHL guys that could play in the NHL. Not saying they'd get top line minutes, but they could be a fourth liner in the NHL right now. You know, it's always funny like that.
Yeah, they can put it in a solid six on an NHL roster, you know, and be cool with it. They're one of the boys. They're a locker room guy.
Locker, you need the glue guys, right?
100%.
Well, I just got a couple more for you, man, and I'll get you on your way. Well, the first one being, where did the name Hit Club come of? Like, where did you think of that? Was that your idea? Was that some of the boys, or did it just kind of y'all kind of collaborate and come together for it? You know, how did the name come about?
Yeah, so we kind of got in a room and we started thinking about, you know, something that translate, like we were talking about it before, something that can translate to many things that doesn't represent only one thing. And that's kind of how we thought about that multi-sport aspect of hitting being a part of every sport across the board. But it also represents kind of that hard play that we all kind of love. So you don't have to be an enforcer. That's not, you know, what Hit Club's all about. Again, it's that like fighting spirit. So that whole like born to fight mentality. We have that commercial spot that we put out when we first launched that kind of explains all that. But you know, it's like it's the mom that's, you know, the hockey mom that's working at the grocery store to pay for the extra ice time, you know, like working a second job to pay for that ice time for their kid. So that their kid can go out there and lay it all out on the ice and, you know, live their dream. It's about the extra hours you put in when you're going hard and, you know, giving it all you've got. So it's kind of that whole mentality all kind of put together. You know, you see it all the time in Canada. You're starting to see it a lot more in America, but you know, parents become all invested into hockey. And there's no other sport. I truly believe that in my heart. There's no other sport that, you know, becomes that invested. It's a lifestyle.
I agree 100%, man. Hockey, like when you, and I never realized it because I don't have kids or anything like that. But when you see, I'd go to beer league, and you know, it depends on how early the game would be, and you just see these parents, and this is like, if the game was early, it'd be 6:30. I mean, for me, that's like just getting off work basically, you know, and it's like, it's like off to work, grab the kids, let's go to the fucking rink. Kids are probably getting dressed in the car. I mean, I know how it was, at least not in hockey sense, but my mother used to do the same thing. I used to get picked up from after school care. I'd be dressing into my football, you know, uniform on the way to practice. So it's a dedication, but like with hockey, it's the same thing. I'd see the same parents, you know, all the time. And it's like, man, this is like 6:30. You guys are hauling ass to get here. I guarantee it. Cause they're already wrapping 100%. Up their drills and what have you while we're, you know, getting ready to go bend our ankles and whiff on a bunch of clappers.
Man, that's the good ice time too. If they're getting there at 6:30, you know, like, I was just talking to a couple of guys the other day about it, you know, like we had like those 4 a.m. practices. We went right through from, you know, fucking off and playing mini sticks till 4 in the morning, not sleeping and going to practice. You know, like that's how it was. It was like early mornings and we would have late nighters too. You know, we'd get that 11 o'clock ice time. You know, you're missing all your sleep time to do what you love, man. And I think I don't even know how parents did it, man. Like I look at, like you mentioned, getting home at 6:30 and like having all this other stuff to do. And, you know, I don't know how my mom did it. God bless her, man. Cause, it takes an army. It takes your parents. It takes, you know, other families and other parents to get you to where you're going in hockey. And, definitely shout out all the hockey parents, man. Cause they put in the work
All right. Sorry, folks. You know, my wife came home. Dogs are going nuts. They were going to interrupt Kurt over here. So I had to pause it real quick, but we are back. Kurt was just showing me some new gear. Actually, Kurt, tell the folks about what kind of gear you got in just now.
Yeah, man. So we about a week ago, we got some of our sample gitch in, which was pretty cool. We were really excited about it because it's not just, you know, sample at this point. I mean, we've really, to every product that we've been working with, we've put in a lot of R&D time and just trying to figure out what's going to work best. We've had a lot of our athletes wearing it. We're actually sending out some out to Chris Orderbody, who's on the podcast a couple weeks ago. So shout out Chris, man. I didn't even realize that I missed him on the shout outs earlier.
He's a homie, man.
What a beauty, man. Like we're talking about golf in the summer and shooting some promos with him. But Chris, your gear's in the mail, so get ready. But yeah, we finally got some of this stuff in, and we're excited, man. It's high quality, like as you can tell right here, man. We got our own custom waistband on it. You know, we worked a lot of time on that, making sure that it's not going to rip and it can hold up to 82 games. Same with our performance tops, our training shorts. We have like the full suite lineup, man. We're going to be doing garter belts and actual jocks and basically everything a player needs to stay fresh and looking good. You can also use it for sewer, so don't think it's just for games. But you know, just making sure that you're all set up for 82 game season, man. So the Gitch is going to be live pretty soon here, and we're really excited about that. And we've also been doing quite a few collabs with a bunch of different teams, man. So I'll open up one of these bad boys real quick here. We can talk about this one, man. So this is personally one of our favorites. We're supposed to be doing a couple championship t-shirts for Carolina, and that obviously didn't pan out in the FA. But instead we ended up making these Prison League hockey shirts, which I thought were perfect for what ended up happening up there in Danbury, man. I don't know if you heard about that whole debacle.
No, what was the debacle up there?
Oh yeah. So Carolina goes up 2-0 at home down there in Winston-Salem. And all the homies took the Iron Lung up to Danbury with only one game to win. And next thing you know, the first game, it's to be expected. You're on the road in one of the most intense markets, I would say, in any minor league.
Yeah.
Going up there to Danbury. I mean, you have fans with train horns on drills, blowing them in your ears and stuff. It's hard to communicate out there on the blue line. So it's understandable, but they go into the second game in Danbury, and they ended up tying the game, but the timekeeper decided to not hit the official time clock. So they got screwed out of a goal and going into overtime. And I strongly believe that they would have probably went on to win that game. Boys are buzzing, and it was just some wild hockey up there. So this is kind of our ode to exactly what happened this year with the Prison League hockey. So
fuck yeah.
I think every guy down there, from Butita to PV to the Hussies, especially Greg, who was in net, I mean, they just they got a little bit pissed off after that, I think, you know, with everything that happened. But you know, it's hockey, and that's our passive aggressive flex at what happened. And knowing that a lot of those guys are going to be back and weren't taken in that expansion draft, I think they're going to have a strong core to come back this year. So we're pretty excited about that. And we even have our Carolina Hits Harder shirt that we're sending out to all the boys here pretty soon. So exciting stuff, man.
Yeah, absolutely. I remember reading about that now. I think I saw it in like some, might have been like an FPHL Facebook group or something like that. I remember there was some controversy, but I think I might have been out somewhere and I couldn't read about it, and I kind of just forgot about it. But yeah, I'm glad you explained that to me.
Yeah, you know, I'm not making excuses. I don't think any guy in that room would ever make an excuse. I just think it's like, I talked about it on a couple other podcasts because I've been pretty candid about it. I mean, those boys down there, the family, they're all the homies. So, you know, just sticking up for them. But thinking back about it, I mean, that's one way. It's kind of like the refs getting called out in the Stanley Cup Finals for, you know, interfering with some of the calls and, right, you know, like leading games a certain way. I think it's kind of the same thing there. It's not a good look, you know. When you can't just let them play it out, and you know, actually give them a shot at, you know, going to overtime or something like that. But you know, it is what it is, man. Like I said, they have a good group up there. Danbury's been known to do stuff like that. It's not the first time in history. And you know, at the end of the day, some very choice things were said. I think there was a brawl at the end of the game. People were on the ice. Sticks were being thrown off the bench by members of both teams. But, you know, I think you look back on that, it's no different than the UHL days, man.
You're right, with the old trashers.
One of the most notorious fights, you'll probably remember it, happened in Danbury with Kalamazoo Wings. Yep. And one of our homies, Joel Martin, was right in the middle of that, man. So one of these days we gotta talk to him about that, man. Because when you watch back on those videos, I was like, oh shit, it's Joel. He's right in the mix, man. This is wild. One of the buttes in the coast for sure. But back in his UHL days, man, he was right in the mix of all that chaos, which is definitely cool to look back on.
Yeah, for sure. Oh yeah, the old Danbury Trashers. I always love anytime if I see a guy played in the UHL during that time, I always have to ask about playing in Danbury because it was just such nothing could replicate that. Like you just
100%, man. And you know, like for as much as we talk about, like I think, like we've grandstanded, I don't know how many times with different groups and podcasts and stuff about making sure that these leagues do a better job at marketing guys. I would say like that was the height of marketing, man. I think what AJ did up there in the Trashers day was absolutely amazing, man. It was a spectacle, and that's great for hockey. That's great for those guys. Everyone was eating, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think that's the best part of that whole thing. So shout out AJ too, man. He's a big homie of Keegan, and definitely a beauty. But also, you know, shout out the Thunderbirds, man, because bullshit would happen. I don't care if AJ's up there or not. So.
There you
gotta get that in too, man.
Oh man, well, before I let you get going, I gotta ask, and of course, you know, you and I have talked about it before, I won't say privately, but you know, back and forth in text, but you come from the Warped Tour scene, actually. About that. How'd you get involved with Warped Tour? Explain Warped Tour for those that might not know.
Yeah, man. So thankfully here in Michigan, when I wasn't playing hockey, I was in quite a few different bands, and had the privilege of knowing a lot of guys that played around the scene. So, you know, we ended up becoming homies with a bunch of different bands back in the day, and kind of was in the pop punk and metalcore scene for a period of time, and got lucky enough to just start going to Warped Tour, which is a huge touring. It used to be a huge touring concert. It went town to town, kind of like a fucking carnival of all hell breaks loose, man. It was wild, man. Like, teenage pubescent idiots just everywhere, man, and we loved every second of it. You know, it's like I think that was the best part, man. I took a bunch of my hockey buddies there, and they're like, what the fuck is this, you know? Like back in the day,
kids rushing to go fucking mosh at 10:30 on a Wednesday.
Oh yeah, man. But I was lucky enough to kind of be on both sides, man. I had that like music side in me and the hockey side, so I had to mesh both of those and kind of hang out there during the summer. And, you know, it was like a 2 or 3 day festival back in the day. I think it went down to 1 day, and then a couple different stages, and then it just got smaller and smaller. But in its height, man, that was everything. And got lucky enough, man, to just hang out with a bunch of those different bands. And, you know, ended up working my way into playing Warped Tour with a couple of my different bands, you know, small stages. And even doing some tour guitar for a couple different bands, too. So it was definitely cool. I got to see the whole Eastern Seaboard and you know, travel around from venue to venue. Is definitely cool in my time. But you know, like bands that we rolled with back in the day, like This Time Next Year, Fireworks, those guys were always really cool. You know, even to the metalcore scene of like all the bands that have broken out of like the Midwest. So taking it back to that too, if you know anything about like Michigan bands, We Came as Romans and Hell Followed with I think Justin Johnson from Siren the Escape. There's a lot of different guys that kind of broke out of here. And For the Fallen Dreams, too. That was another band that we knew quite well coming out of Michigan. So all those guys ended up playing Warped Tour, and we got lucky enough to hang with them. And I think that's where the merch bug came in, too, man, believe it or not. You'd go to Warped Tour, and you'd see all these fucking amazing shirts and things that bands would come up with. And that it just kind of naturally translated into the second half of life here once the opportunity came back around. It's like, let's do some cool fucking merch, man.
Like, there hasn't been to be alive,
cool
man.
Merch
like,
in a while.
People don't understand, like I mean, and, you know, everything changed, but like the old fucking... All right, back after a little bit of technical difficulty. Sorry, folks. But well, yeah, what I was going to say was like that era, like, you know, I guess like the like 08 to maybe like 2012 or something like that, when the merch was like all the neon like cartoon monsters and shit. Like I remember the A Day to Remember like Pac-Man shirt and everything like that. It was just the merch then was it was awesome. It really was.
Oh, yeah, man. And had the luck to do some designs for different bands and stuff. Back in the day, you know, being a designer too at that point, especially into the college years after I hung up the hockey days, got lucky enough to do some stuff for like Tom Williams, who's a huge hockey fan, by the way, too, and Straight from the Path.
Nice.
He's
huge New York Rangers fan. I remember back in the day, actually, when we used to hang out with those guys from Straight from the Path, he used to put the jerseys that he had. So he had like a Gretzky and I think he had a Modano jersey.
Oh, shit.
Both of his half stack, like, I guess, like head parts of his amp. He had the jerseys like in the top part of the amp. So they would perform and he'd have like the jersey name kit in the back.
That's sick.
Yeah, I always thought that was the coolest thing, man. So that was definitely the era, man. Like for music, there was a lot of great bands that came out of that, and bands that I still listen to this day to get it going. So like if I go out and do something that I need that motivation, I'll go back to that era, man.
Oh, all the time. Yeah, I'd listen to it daily. It's terrible. I'm like stuck in the fucking 2000s.
Dated Remember album that came out, I forget what it's called now, but you know, I had that like blue and pink cover with like the kid walking into the woods.
Oh yeah, Homesick.
Yeah, Homesick, man, that's a great album, man.
Oh, 10 out of 10. Like there's not a single skip on that album. You gotta listen to it all the way through.
All the way through, man. Always gets it going. So yeah, that whole era, man, of like the Victory Records and Dated Remember and all the pop punk bands that were coming out on independent labels like Run for Cover and all that stuff. It was a great era, man.
It really was. Yeah, I had to go down that nostalgia road of Warped Tour because, of course, I know you like the same music as I do. And I think when we post on like Instagram or whatever and you use like music over the pictures, it's all like either metalcore or pop punk and all that 100%. Fun shit. all the good stuff anyways. Well, man, I'll let you get going, but I got to ask you one more question. Normally I ask people, you know, who aren't necessarily like pro hockey players or whatever, I'll ask them, you know, who their favorite fighter is. But since you talk about the Mission to Hit Club and everything, you got to give me the three G's. Who's your favorite goal scorer? Who's your favorite goalie? And who's your favorite goon? Although I only say that as an example. I hate the word goon, but I'll use it. I'll give it a pass for right now.
Oh, 100%, man. Goal scorer, got to go with Pavel Bure back in the day. Yep. At Vancouver Canucks growing up. Fighter. Steve Ott, man.
Ott. Wow, I was figuring you were gonna say Proby because you're a Detroit guy.
Oh, I love me some Proby, man. But I grew up with like the Steve Ott era and like Windsor, like Butch was always around, like in like the Windsor area when he was younger. So I remember like growing up and being able to see him play for even like the Spits for a period of time and that, and like just loved his style of play, man. Like the little like fucking tenacity that he always had, the shit kicking he had in himself, and then he also had like the ability to put it on and light it up occasionally, win face-offs. You know, he was definitely like an intangibles guy, which I love. So, and he could also give it, like, didn't matter who he was going up against, man, he would give it to him. One of my favorite moments is in the Winter Classic with him and Matt Martin. Martin got traded to Toronto, and he does like the whole camera thing, man. Like that's exactly why I love Steve Ott, man. Just a great guy. Goaltender Chris Osgood, man. Growing up in Detroit.
Oh,
man.
There you go. That's a good one.
I remember. Oh yeah, I remember. I wanted to play goaltender when I was younger, and my parents wouldn't let me because it was way too expensive. You know?
It is.
I wanted the Osgood Hespeller pads. You know, they were too expensive. And then I wanted the Osgood mask and it was impossible to find, you know, you couldn't find those type of masks.
Right.
I get it. So we'd go into Pirani's and I'd always try that stuff on. But, most of all, I remember like I bought one of the shirtsies at one of the Red Wings games and I would sit in front of the TV and mimic everything that Chris Osgood was doing. I know it's super embarrassing, man, but like, that's exactly where the love for hockey came from, man. I'd like sit in front of the TV and 2, 3, 4, it was young, you know, like 4 or 5. And I watched everything he was doing and try and, you know, mimic him. And he was unreal, man. He had an absolutely amazing career. And his connection now with the Saginaw Spirits even cooler, too, man. And getting to see him on the Red Wings broadcast is even cooler, man. To see your idol still on TV and not just being in the ether is always pretty cool. So.
Yeah, for sure. You say you're mimicking him. It reminds me of, oh man, I think you could probably find the video on YouTube, but I remember there was a kid at a Flames game was mimicking Mika Kiprusoff the entire time.
Oh, yeah.
Everything he was doing, if Kipper was taking a sip of water, he's taking an imaginary drink of water, everything like 100%. That.
Yeah, that's tremendous. That was me as a kid, man, because I played defense my whole life, so even in my college career, I played D, and always wanted to play goalie, but... couldn't. So, you know, that kind of, I think, sufficed a little bit. Whenever we play street hockey, goalie. Whenever we'd play, you know, not on a team, I'd throw somebody else's pads on. You know, they're probably like 3 or 4 inches too short.
Yeah.
Big guy. But I didn't give a shit, man. I was trying to stop everything.
Rocking some pads that are like capris on you, basically.
Oh, yeah. And now I'll throw some pads on just to play because I'm gassed. I look like Yapper out there if I play D. You know, I remember when he played for the Panthers, they're like scooting him along.
Oh, yeah, exactly. So, that's great.
I'll go in there and take some rubber and just so I don't get gassed, so I can still go in there and get a workout, hang out with the boys, you know. I think that's the biggest underrated thing for people that don't play hockey or people that don't understand. It's about the camaraderie at the end of the day, man. Us being in the corporate world with Hit Club, being able to be back in the room with the boys, go out golfing with the boys, hanging out with everybody. You build like lifelong friendships with people. And I think that's everything, man, from like hanging out and having team meals to having a couple beers with the boys, man. That's really what hockey's built on, man, is that friendship and just like the funny ass memories that you're going to have of your playing time. Because when you hang them up, you hang them up and then you go back into that corporate realm to try and, you know, go back into more of the wife, kids, food on the table. And when you're playing hockey, man, it's all about like what are we doing right now? We're not thinking about, right, you know, next year or whatever. We're having a good time playing hockey, man. And it's cool for us to be back into that realm with even with some of the guys that have hung them up now, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, for those that don't know, where can people find Hit Club Hockey Supply?
Yeah, buddy. So check us out at hitclubhockey.com, at Hit Club Hockey on all the social medias. And we're doing weekly launches here into the summertime. So we're going to have some new apparel for both Hit Club Hockey, the Gitch line, and also some of the golf stuff. So there's definitely going to be some really cool new releases. And we actually just dropped our America Hits Harder line, too, which is perfect for 4th of July. So go check some of that stuff out, man. It's patriotic, and it's also a pretty sick statement for hockey, too, man. So we're really excited about that.
Absolutely. Well, Kurt, I appreciate you taking the time to come on the podcast and let people know what Hit Club is all about. I wanted people to know what kind of brand that Five for Fighting is getting in with.
Oh, 100%, man. And actually, that's an even better point, man. I know you posted earlier in the week about something big's coming, man. But we're really excited to be able to offer some high quality gear for Five for Fighting, too, man. So we have a collaborative suite of products coming out, I will say, and they're top notch, man. We're really excited to collab with you, Alec, and love everything you've been doing for minor league hockey, everything you've been doing for the enforcers in the leagues across the board, man. It's absolutely amazing to see, and we can't appreciate more that you trusted us to represent your brand with merchandising too, man. So I think it's gonna be a great partnership moving forward.
For sure, and I appreciate what you guys do for minor pro hockey as well. That's what drew me to you guys, because I had seen a bunch of companies here and there, and I was like, yeah, I don't know if I want to send them a message. And I know you guys were still just starting out, but I was like, something's different about these boys. I like them. And so that's what drew me to it, and it was perfect.
Dude, that means a ton, man, because we've literally, since 2020, pumped blood, sweat, and tears into this thing. I think every single person in our families made sacrifices and, you know, believing in us to allow us to do this, man. So we're definitely appreciative. And again, you know, it's about that kind of mentality of it's not just about, you know, creating a brand for the sake of creating a brand. It's about, you know, giving back to hockey and making sure that we can promote hockey in whatever capacity that is. So it's more than just merchandise. It's promotion of your favorite hockey player. It's promotion of all these guys grinding out in the trenches. And we're excited, and we're ready to go. So let's go.
For sure, man. Well, Kurt, you have yourself a great night, man. I appreciate you again for coming on the pod.
You too, buddy. Thanks so much for having me on. You got